Welcome, everyone, and thank you for standing by. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. On today's SICKHUE's drafting team meeting on Thursday, the 13th of September, we have Elisa Cooper, Ray Fassett, Steve Metallitz, Mike O'Connor, Susan Prosser, Evan Leibovich. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Barry Kopp, Barbara Roseman, and myself, Gisela Gruber. An apology noted today from Caroline Hoover. I hope I haven't left anyone off the roll call. And if I could also please remind you all to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Gisela. As always, a fabulous job, and welcome everybody to the call today. People are, I think, still joining, and we'll just let them join silently and maybe acknowledge them as they get here in the chat. As usual,
thank you.
We'll take a brief pause to just take a look at the agenda on the right side of the page, which is pretty straightforward today. We'll confirm the chairs, Alan Greenberg and me. We'll take a look at the draft charter and the comments that have come so far, and talk a little bit about the next meeting. And then we'll just take a moment here to pause and let people either offer ideas to amend the agenda, or if people have changes in their statements of interest that they'd like to share with the group, this would be a good time to do that too. Okay. What you see on the screen is the two documents that we're going to be working on today. Many thanks to Marika for a heroic effort of getting a draft out and also summarizing the comments that have come in so far on that draft. I think the conversation on the list has been terrific. Substantive comments, very useful, and I think that Marika's got a great first cut at the charter done. I thought that maybe what we would do is run through the charter with a couple of ideas in mind. One is to sort of familiarize ourselves with it. It's always good, I think, to take the whole group through it together. But then it's my presumption that after we get done with the Section 2, that from Section 3 on, we can pretty much treat this as boilerplate predetermined language. So unless anybody's got anything really exciting that they want to add to the Section 3 and onwards, I think what we'll be looking for is tentative agreement that that part of the charter is essentially ready to go, and focus what we're doing on Section 2. And so after we've sort of reviewed all that, we'll quickly step through the comments. And again, my idea is that we would, on this call, be looking for things to add to the charter, and probably not spend a whole lot of time debating them. I'm not sure. My thought was that maybe what we could do is try and drive pretty much everything we can into the charter, either on this call or between this call and the next, and then on the next call, try and identify those areas where we've got disagreement that we need to work through. I think that there's going to be a substantial amount of the charter that's agreeable to everybody, but, you know, one never knows. So anyway, that's sort of the tentative approach that I was thinking we'd take, sort of a run-through today, add things today, and then really tee up a pretty substantive conversation next time to iron out things coming in or going out, try and get a final done, you know, either next week if we're really moving, or the week after, and then on to Toronto. So with that, Marika, do you want to drag us through this, or do you want me to drag us through this? Either way is fine with me.
This is Marika. Maybe it would be helpful as well just to go to the people that submitted the comments and have them speak to it, and then people can comment on it. I don't know if you...
Well, I thought before we got to those, we'd just go through the...
Okay.
Your draft.
Okay.
And then,
I'm happy to go... I'm happy to take people through the draft.
Okay. That'd be great.
So section two is the mission, purpose, and deliverables. And as we discussed on the last call and also on the mailing list, basically this content comes almost directly from the issue report. It basically phrases the question as was posed in the issue report, and it outlines the elements that need to be considered as part of the deliberations on the main question, which also directly come from the issue report. Initially, I had just listed the titles of those and refer to the issue report itself, but following comments, people suggested that maybe there's a bit of context around those would be helpful. So what I did is basically just list the language that was in the issue report for each of those items. So the first one is in relation to response consistency, then stability, accessibility, impact on privacy and data protection, including consideration of possible cross-border transfer of registrant data. Talking about cost implications, database synchronization between registry and registrars, competition in registry services, existing WHOIS applications, data escrow, and registrar port 43 WHOIS requirements. Then basically it refers to also something that came up in the issue report, that there may be other initiatives going on at the same time that either might help inform the deliberations, or it's just good for the working group to be aware of those in case there's something that might come out of the working group that may impact other initiatives. And highlighted here specifically are, for example, discussions on registrar separation and related developments with regards to access to customer data, results of RIA negotiations, just to verify if there's anything in there that would impact on the deliberations of the working group, and the WHOIS review team recommendations. And then there's a suggestion in there, as well, were also some other items highlighted in the report, if there should there be a consensus that STIC WHOIS should be required for all GTLDs, then the recommendation is that the PDP working group should also consider what are the cost implications, how to conduct or any recommendations that might be on conducting the transition, and whether there should be any special provisions and or exemptions that would be needed. And then going into the objectives and goals, as Mike said here, I think we actually start a bit in the boilerplate language. This is basically just referring to the required output that the working group will need to produce according to the bylaws and the PDP manual, which is an initial report and a final report, emphasizing as well that the working group is expected to follow the processes as described in the Annex A and in the PDP manual. And then talking as well about the deliverables and time frame, again, looking at the Annex A and the PDP manual for guidance there, indicating that working group is required to develop a work plan in which it basically outlines how it's going to conduct its work and expected timing for the different milestones. I think that those are the main items. And then it basically moves into, as Mikey said, more boilerplate language. Most of this language is drawn from what is in the GNSO working group guidelines language we have used as well for previous PDP working groups. So I'm not really sure if it's necessary to go through each of those. I'm happy to answer any questions people might have on any of those sections.
Thanks, Marika. Let's sort of work backwards, and before we sort of get to the main event, is there anything that anybody really thinks that we need to do in terms of Section 3 and beyond? My presumption is that these are pretty routine, pretty pro forma pieces of our work, and that we can essentially accept those by acclamation. We can always come back if we discover something, but I'm presuming that the focus of what we're working on is really Section 2. And I think at this point might be a good time to now switch gears. I note that Keith is on the call, and Evan is muted at the moment. Evan may need to be unmuted because he's, I bet, on a cell phone outside, and he's probably...
I'm inside, so it won't be any problems now.
Oh, good. You're back. Great, great. I think with that, since you're on the call now, is it inconvenient, Evan, for you to run through your comments? Are you sort of doing this on the fly? Would you rather wait till you're somewhere where you can see a computer, or is this an okay time? Yeah.
Actually, I've just now, Mikey, walked into my office. So if you give me maybe about 5 minutes, literally, to hang up from this, call in on my landline, I'll be more than able to do it. But I'll need about 5 minutes.
All right. I tell you what we'll do. We'll go to Keith next, and that will probably fill the 5 minutes and maybe more, and then put you next in line after that. I'll bet by then you're ready to roll.
Perfect. Thank you. So I will be hanging up and redialing in on the landline. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Evan. Keith, do you want to sort of walk us through your suggestion?
Yes.
Take it away.
Not a problem. Happy to do it. And just like to note that on the list, there were a few responses and exchanges to the comments that I submitted, and I generally feel comfortable with everything that's been suggested. So maybe I'll just summarize. The two sort of high-level comments were basically trying to ensure that the language does not either explicitly or implicitly single out one entity for treatment, and making sure that the language is broad enough that if it's going to apply to one, it will apply to all. And I think that some of the language that I know Alan had a good question back to me, and Avery recommended some language, and I think I'm very comfortable with the direction that's going. The specific comment was to basically amend one of the sort of the introductory sentence that talks more about the consistent use of thick whois by all GTLD registries. I know there's still some question about what exactly the definition of consistent is and how it applies, and that's something that we probably can still continue to discuss and work through. But just as a general statement, provided the language is applicable to all, but not singling out explicitly or implicitly any one party, I'm comfortable with the direction that's going. The second item was basically a request for us to be as specific as we can in the charter as it relates to the language from the issues report and from the documentation that already exists, so we don't necessarily have to always be going back and referring to it. So it's sort of incorporated into the charter itself. And to the extent possible, where we can be specific in outlining the detail around each one of those, I think that's a positive thing. But I did not intend for the comments and, for example, the list of questions to be comprehensive. It was more sort of a guide, certainly wouldn't want to necessarily limit or exclude conversation on other matters, or to become so specific that it was not something that the working group could handle. As Steve correctly pointed out, that some of the questions may require some sort of a legal determination. So, again, not trying to be overly explicit and certainly not trying to exclude, other discussion if it's warranted, but just simply trying to provide some goalposts for us and perhaps some guidelines or some, a little bit of structure that would help the working group understand that we're on track and that we're meeting our milestones, and to know when we've been successful in terms of completing a particular topic. I'll stop there and take any questions.
Yeah, I think that's perfect, Keith. Let's go out to the queue. Avery,
you
want to go ahead?
This is Avery speaking. The question I have is the meaning of the word all, and I just want to make sure that I understand the same thing by all that you mean and that we say. When we say all, we mean any of the incumbents who do not, any of the incumbents who already do, and any of the new ones that are yet to be created. Is that what we mean by all?
That's correct.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Thanks.
So, let me extrapolate on that. Obviously, you know, we all know that almost everybody today operates thick whois, and the new round of TLD applicants will be required to operate thick whois. But we don't know necessarily what will happen in the second round of new GTLDs, because those sort of the rules around that have yet to be determined. You know, following the first round of new GTLDs, there will be a review and recommendations made, and so it's not a guarantee that thick whois would continue through a second round of GTLDs. So this is one of the reasons I like Aubrey's language, is it basically says if we're setting a policy around thick whois and the use of thick whois and a consistent use of thick whois, then it really ought to be a policy that applies to all. So to the extent that we need to be a little more explicit about existing and any future, I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah. This is one, Aubrey, one more comment, which was, and of course, for the new ones that have been deemed to have thick whois, we really don't know the conditions of that thick whois. We just know that thick whois is required. But the hows, whys, and wherefores are still sketchy around edges.
Yep.
Any other thoughts about Keith's comments? I think that one approach to this is if we can continue to make unreasonable requests of Marika is if we have sort of a sense on the call that it's at least worthy of being included, we'll let Marika take a try at developing some language to drive into the charter rather than build it ourselves on the call. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think I heard Keith say that he was happy with the language that Aubrey drafted. And maybe just to check if people are happy with, you know, what Aubrey has suggested, we might take that as part of the, you know, put that in the draft for the next round of considerations.
Yes, and that language is just a little bit further down in this same document. So maybe, Aubrey, it's your turn to speak to your language just to get that on the record, and then we can go ahead with that. Oh, except I built a little bit of a queue. I guess maybe before Aubrey goes, let's let Steve and Ray go. Steve, go ahead.
I'll defer to Aubrey because my comment is really on Keith's second comment.
Okay. Ray?
Thanks, Mikey. I just thought it might be useful to suggest maybe the language to be all GTLDs. I think that covers it. So just a suggestion.
Right. Okay, Aubrey, you have the floor. You want to just walk us through your...
Yeah, I think I already said what was there. It's basically that the PDP working group is tasked to provide the GNSO Council with a recommendation, S is in parentheses, regarding the consistent use of thick whois by all, both existing and future GTLD registries. You know, obviously that sentence might need to be wordsmithed, but that's basically, and what I'm trying to get to is that if thick whois, then A, we're trying to make sure that thick whois is required by all, just not just the new ones, and B, that the rules that pertain to thick whois and any, you know, the whole set of policies that pertain to thick whois apply equally to existing TLDs as well as future GTLDs. I'd love to say just TLDs, but we have to say GTLDs.
No, we're not going there.
I know we're not, but I
said it. That's outside our charter. I know that.
But,
thanks, Aubrey. Okay, so given all that, I'm mindful that Steve is in the queue for another reason, but is there anything else that people want to comment on the... Evan, ALAC's got comments on who is in non-GTLDs, but no, we're...
No, I'm just saying... Sorry, Mikey, I'm just saying ALAC does not have the limit in scope and has been making comments a little bit more universally, but I'm quite aware of the limitations here.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Evan. Anything else about this? Otherwise, we'll let Marika maybe pull that language into the next draft as a starting point for discussion. And with that, circle back to Steve. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I was really just wanted to respond, as I did on the list, to Keith's second proposal. And I wasn't sure whether Keith said in his earlier remarks that he was okay with kind of the approach that's in Marika's new draft here. Again, here I'm talking about, since we've disposed of the first sentence of Section 2, I'm talking about basically the next sentence and all the bullets that hang off of that. And my feeling was, when you, if you say, consider the following elements as detailed in the final issue report, you're kind of incorporating by reference what it says in the final issue report about them. But if people feel, just as an editorial matter, it would be better to actually reproduce what was said about them in the final issue report, I'm okay with that. And that is, I think, what Marika has done in all those bullets going down through, you know, through Star Port 43 requirements.
So I guess my question is,
do we need to go farther than that on those topics?
This is Keith. I can respond. No, I think that's fine. I think that's very appropriate. I don't think we necessarily need anything more, you know, as far as an explanatory sentence, as I'd suggested, than what's in the issues report. I think pulling that language into the charter would be beneficial, though. So certainly I'm okay with that. Then I think there was a second question about, you know, does it make sense to outline a list of, you know, a list of questions, you know, to help us sort of, to help guide us a little bit. Is that something that that's still worth discussing? I understand, Steve, that, you know, your comments in the email were, you know, you don't want it to be either too specific that it, you know, sort of bogs us down because we're unable to address it, or, you know, but at the same time, I understand some people don't want things to be too wide open because it, you know, for example, brings in the possibility of, you know, introducing a proposal for THINUIS, which, of course, nobody's intending to do. But I'm just trying to gauge whether, you know, there's an opportunity for us here to provide some guidelines of sentences or questions, you know, that would be help us be more efficient, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. I'll stop there.
Thanks, Keith. Steve, do you want to come back on that?
Sure. Just to say, I mean, I'm not sure I see the need for any additional questions, but I'd certainly, you know, I would certainly consider it if people have ones to suggest. I looked at the ones you suggested, and I had some comments about those. But in general, I think the issues report lays out the topics. This is not an exhaustive list in the sense that it says, at a minimum, consider the following elements. So I think it gives the working group the flexibility they need, but still gives them direction. They say, you better look at these questions. It kind of leaves them more flexibility to decide how to do that and to what depth.
Yeah, and this is Keith. I'm comfortable with that. I mean, I guess, you know, to the extent that we can be the most efficient that we can be, and, you know, but at the same time not tying the hands of the working group and actually conducting their work, I think is reasonable. So I'm comfortable with where we are with Steve's recommendation.
All right, we've picked off Steve's comment, and as long as, Evan, I haven't forgotten you, but Ray was really riding along on the same thread that Steve started, so why don't we go down to the very bottom of that second, the document on the right side of the screen. Ray, do you want to chime in on this particular topic? You listed a bunch of questions. Would you be comfortable with this somewhat less explicit approach that we seem to be settling on right now, or do you want to drive some questions like this into the actual charter?
Yeah, right. Thank you, Mikey. Ray Fassett. The response I did was just to kind of draw out that putting together questions could be an exercise in and of itself that, if there was common agreement, could potentially be helpful to the working group. So really, to me, it's a decision of whether the drafting team wants to take on that exercise, which could prolong this part of the process, putting together the charter. So I'm not a strong advocate either way. I do like to help out future working groups whenever possible, so really the question to me became not so much the questions themselves that I drafted up, you know, rather quickly, but but more to the point of, is it worth the time of the drafting team to go down the path of trying to develop some questions to help the future working group, or whether or not it's get the charter done? And again, I agree with Steve. You know, the working group is the place for the flexibility. I agree with that too. So we don't want to constrain them. So all that said, I'm listening to Steve and Keith. I'm not offering any objection. My approach is just to offer out the notion of, are we helping the working team, the working group, by going to the exercise or not? But if we feel we're better off moving along with the charter, I'm okay with that too. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Ray. I have some thoughts on this topic, but I don't want to get in front of anybody else, so I'll save them till the end. Evan, go ahead.
Hi. This is Evan for the record. I guess my own thoughts on that are simply that I would prefer for this drafting team to concentrate on the outcome that is who is something that should be required. And personally, I'm less interested in the how. That's something that can be left up to competitive to the marketplace. I get personally, I think that, you know, things are going to take enough time as it is, and heaven knows we've rehashed this issue time and time again. So on the specifics of a PDP that goes into should thick who is be considered, leaving the competitive issues of how that's done, personally, to me, is beyond scope.
Thanks, Evan. Let me weigh in as well. I'm attracted to the idea of leaving the specific questions for the working group. I think one of the interesting puzzlers is your chair. If we start going into specific questions, we make it into trouble where we start doing the work of the working group rather than the work of a drafting team. And so while I think that these questions that have been posed in these email threads are really good ones and should be preserved, I'm pretty keen on the idea of not taking this drafting team through the exercise of developing questions like this, because I think it would add a lot of time to the work that we do. And it's tricky from the vantage point of running the meetings, keeping us out of the weeds of actually accidentally getting into the work of the working group. So what I'm detecting on the call is that Marika's level of detail is fine. I think we should preserve this thread because I think it will be useful for the working group, but that we won't actually go through the exercise of building a series of questions like these. Is that a pretty good summary? If anybody objects to that summary, this would be a good time to set me straight. Otherwise, that's sort of the way we'll proceed on that front. Okay, let me just roll back. I think that Frederick, so Evan, you're now up because you were patient. So Evan's comment is the first one on the document on the right. Take it away, Evan.
Okay, thanks. Mikey, on rereading things, I'm wondering if the original intention, which was to put it into the bullet, these things into the bullet points of Section 1, may be inappropriate. I'm sort of new to some of the energy NSO workings. But the point that I wanted to do was sort of ensure that there are a couple of elements inserted to make sure that they're considered by the working group as it goes forward. One is to make very explicit that there has to be a mindset of transparency of process. Maybe that's considered to be a given. I just want to make sure it's explicit. The second one is not necessarily a given. Based on various fun that at large has had with issues of contractual compliance, part of the problems we've run into is that resulting policy has produced wording that is so ambiguous as to be unenforceable. So while it demonstrates a good intent, there's no or else concept of this. And so I just like to make sure that moving forward, that when policies like this are done, that there's a clear expectation of what is required and a clear expectation of of what will happen if this isn't. Like, for instance, you know, will lack of provision, lack of adequate provision of a thick who is constitute breach. Maybe these are getting into contentious issues. I just want to make sure that the working group understands that the product of what it does has to be sufficiently clear that both the parties that are expected to adhere to it and the parties that are expected to enforce it understand very clearly what the parameters are. The third point being public interest concerns as expressed by the GAC and ALAC. In this particular issue of who is, I could easily make the point that the main reason that who is even exists at all is a matter of public service, that is, giving an accountability as to identity of registrants to Internet end users. And as such, given that ALAC and the GAC, the two bodies mentioned by bylaws as representing the public interest in ALAC, are outside of GNSO, part of what I'd like to try and do here is to ensure that the PDP is made aware of the public interest concerns. And I said in brackets, as expressed by the GAC and ALAC, so that we don't get into this extremely lengthy definition of, well, what's the public interest anyway? ICANN and its bylaws has defined who frames that, and the organizations that have been charged in doing that have been very unequivocal in how they've moved forward on this. So I'm just suggesting that if the PDP is to indeed be representative of the entire multi-stakeholder process, that it needs to include explicit references to what has already come out of the two public interest advisory bodies, since who is itself is a public interest issue. Thanks.
All right. In the middle of that, Marika's hand popped up, so I'll go to her.
Yeah, this is Marika. Maybe just as well to clarify that, you know, in addition to what is contained in the charter, and as mentioned before, the PDP working group is also expected to adhere to everything that's in the Annex A of the ICANN bylaws, as well as the PDP manual. And especially, I think, in relation to the first two points, and maybe partly as well the third one, it outlines very clearly as well, you know, how the work needs to be conducted. You know, everything is open, published, recorded, transcribed. And on the second point, there's as well a requirement for PDP working groups to include a statement as part of their report that discusses the expected impact of the proposed recommendations, also considering areas such as economic, competition, operations, privacy, rights, scalability, as well as feasibility. And I think maybe with regards to the last point, is something that was introduced as well with the recently adopted PDP, which was revised recently, is a requirement to, at an early stage of the process, request input from other stakeholder, not only stakeholder groups and constituencies in the GNSO, but also reach out to other supporting organizations and advisory committees for their input in the issue, to really make sure that that's obtained at the early stages of the process, instead of, you know, towards the end when, you know, things might already be set in stone and people suddenly realize, oh, there are other opinions out there as well that may eventually influence, for example, a board decision. So maybe some of that is addressed by what is in the PDP manual and Annex A, but maybe there are other things that you feel that are not sufficiently covered by what is already there. But I just wanted to raise that.
Yeah. Well, in that list of things that you said about the point number two, one of the things that wasn't mentioned was enforceability. And so maybe that's something I'm suggesting be in there. Under normal circumstances, maybe this wouldn't matter. But given the difficulties that we've experienced with the compliance department in their ability to even interpret the existing regulations, I think moving forward we need to be conscious of that. And as far as the public interest concerned and ensuring that is built into the process very early, if there's boilerplate language that addresses that, I'm perfectly happy with that. I simply wanted to call attention to the fact that perhaps in contrast to something like registrar separation, that who is very much a public-facing policy. It's very much a public interest policy, and as such, it is absolutely imperative that the public interest, as has been defined by ICANN's bodies that are charged to do that kind of thing, are very heavily brought into the process from the very beginning. Thanks.
Thanks, Evan. Ray, go ahead.
Okay. I think Evan says makes sense. However, just clarification that the statement that WHO is absolutely a public-facing policy, I'm not sure I understand that, because I believe we're starting from a position that WHO is not a policy at all right now. So,
sorry, WHO is a public-facing service. And
okay.
So the provision of WHO is, I guess, is the policy, but WHO is itself is a public-facing service. If you were to ask some reasonably Internet-savvy people on the street, what is registry, registrar, separation, and you ask them what is WHO is, which one was more likely to elicit a positive identification?
Okay. I don't want to get into the debate of it. I just wanted to point that out. Thank you, Evan.
Okay.
Thanks, Ray. Evan, I guess my question to you, being this sort of anal-focused kind of guy, is do you see any changes that we need to make to the charter, or do you think that, much of the stuff that you talk about is sort of embedded in the fabric of GNSO policymaking? And so I'm curious if...
I have an answer for you. It might not be satisfying, but I have an answer. And that is that I think there needs to be explicit language in here to make sure that the public interest groups involved in ICANN are explicitly brought in. That is, the working group not should, but must consider GAC statements on WHO is. That it not just should, but must consider at large issues. Will it need to agree with them totally? Not necessarily. But part of me wants to put in that there's got to be an obligation for this working group to look outside the GNSO constituencies themselves in how to frame this. And I'm asking to make that very explicit.
I think that's fine. I think what we then need is some language and where to insert it so that we can then debate it. And I think that where I would tend to look for that is Marika. Oh, Marika and I are actually joined by a secret ESP subsystem. She raised her hand as I was saying that. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Mark. I think indeed a place where that would fit is basically the second paragraph where we talk about that they have to take into account other initiatives. I think there we might just add a sentence saying, and the PDP working group is also required or obligated or has to, or however we want to word that, to review any information that is provided by other SOs, ACs on this topic, something along those lines. Maybe that fits well with that specific paragraph, which talks about making sure that the PDP working group doesn't only look inside, but also stays aware of other initiatives that are going on in this area that might help to inform the deliberations.
So, Evan, what if you drafted a sentence for that section and sent it around to the list, and then maybe we can work it in on the next? Oh, I'm sorry, I walked right over Steve Metallitz. Go ahead, Steve.
No, this is Steve. I was just going to, support what Evan said, and also the idea that this could go, as Marika said, in that second paragraph. And I agree with you. I think a sentence or two would be sufficient. But I think these are important points to mention. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we're all sort of headed in the same direction there. If anybody thinks we're off the beam, this would be the right time to raise your concerns, but otherwise I think a sentence. Evan, do you want to take the lead on that, or do you want to have Marika cut a draft for you and review it?
I'll tell you what. Marika, why don't I work offline with you? Maybe between the two of us we can bang something together.
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. All right. Now, the last little thing in your comment, Evan mentioned, is the tiered access mentioned in the last paragraph of the mission defined in the RAA? If so, references would be given, should be given. If not, the issue is a matter of competitive implementation. I think tiered access is baked into the RAA. I don't think it's just mentioned. I think that's kind of core for the whole shebang.
If that's the case, then I would simply ask for the benefit of the non-savvy reader, such as myself, to be given pointers to that.
Cool.
So that was more a matter of information. If it's baked in, then to me it's a non-issue, and I just need to read the relevant parts. If it's not baked in, then it's out of scope, but you've answered that question.
I think it's baked in, but Steve, you're better at this than me. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think this comes from the issue report. The use of this phrase, and there are two footnotes in the issues report that talk about .tel and .name. It describes what they tiered access. So I think that's what that refers to. So
yeah, it's a different thing.
Just
you're right,
Steve. And if that's sufficiently clear. In the context of the issue report, it says tiered access as is mentioned in these two footnotes.
No, I was thinking equal access, but you're right. This is a totally different thing and does come from the issues report. And so, Marika, if we could just extract maybe a sentence or two and wrap that in to that paragraph, that would be good. Because I was riding along on a totally wrong definition. So that's a good catch, Evan. Okay, that's it for comments. Wait, I'm sorry. I skipped Frederick's comment. Frederick, do you want to dive in and just walk us through your...
Well, can you hear me? Yes?
Yes, I can hear you just
okay,
fine.
Okay, could I speak? Frederick speaking. Some of you have answered. I've also tried to define more and more into details what TQRS is. Or should be in the future, but to me, putting a charter together using TQRS, if you don't really define what's behind TQRS, it's getting difficult then to implement it. But apparently, everybody wants to put more and more definition and details, so I'm fine with. I don't know if I make myself clear, but I just wanted to say, is TQRS like has it got the same definition for all of us on the call, for example?
I actually think that yours is a very good idea. We've been talking about this for a long time. Steve is pointing out in the chat that Section 4.1 of the Issues Report does that definition.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be at all adverse to a suggestion that we roll that definition up into the charter, just to keep the material. It's sort of very much along the same lines as Keith's suggestion, where we pull some of the material out of the issues report and pull it into the charter, just to make it easier for a person to understand and follow.
Exactly.
So unless anybody has a huge objection to that, I'd take that as a friendly amendment to the charter as it stands. Because, you know, thick and thin whois has been a topic for a long time, and it's, I think, in this issues report for the first time actually defined. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. No objections, but just trying to clarify then where we put that. Should that be then as an introduction if we start with a mission and scope that it just first explains, you know, thin versus thick and then, you know, goes into the PDP working group's task? Or should it be in the form of a footnote?
I like it in the mission and scope, you know. I mean, our mission is to do something. Here's the definition of what that something is. That seems like a good spot for it. If it's not terribly long, I can't remember how long the definition.
The whole description is quite long, but I think we, you know, can just abstract from there, just in a very short way, you know, what thin means. Because I think I have used it in some background papers, like just two sentences on describing it. But the issue report goes into further detail. But in any case, I mean, it is one of the recommended materials that the working group will have to review before it starts its work. So hopefully they'll read it in greater detail there.
Yeah, I'm thinking not so much the working group as the other people who will use this charter who will probably not read that stuff, you know, folks on the council and stuff like that. And I think it's good to have a couple of sentences in there and then a reference to the issue report for a more complete definition. And I think right up in the mission, I think that's the right spot for it. Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Mikey. Just a clarification. So are we looking to pull in the definitions as they are contained in the issues report? I think there were examples to support those definitions. Are we looking to pull the examples in as well, or just the definitions?
I was thinking something. I'm thinking more in terms of sentences length. You know, I'm thinking if there's a way to summarize that in a sentence or two, and then a reference to it for people who want a more complete version.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking so much the actual content as the size of the statement, because I don't want to overwhelm the mission and scope with a great big huge narrative, but rather just sort of give people a toehold that says, oh, yeah, Thikhu is, yes, I remember now what that is, or no, I don't really know what that is, I better go read that.
Right, I think it's a good suggestion myself. And is the idea to pull in the definition of both a thick and a thin?
Yeah.
And then my last question would be, does that get where Frederick wants to be? I think he was getting to the point of, you know, what are the actual fields or something like that. So just wanted to toss that out. But
no,
I do agree
question.
With the idea. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. We'll circle back to Frederick and put Frederick on the spot. Does this notion that we've sort of been homing in on, that we put a sentence or two in with a reference to the issue report, meet the need that you were expressing, Frederick?
Well, yes, it meets it. I always think it's always useful to remind people what we want to achieve. At some point, I realized that in the following comments, then the working group will have to set the levels that we have to understand that we have to reach for Thikhu. I think just a definition and not trying to define what's going to be the output of the working group.
On the right track. And Frederick, I think, just like I left Evan with an action item, I'll leave you with an action item to take a look at a careful look at the language that Marika inserts to make sure that it really works well for you, and then we'll carry on from there. Ray, is that an old hand or a new one? I saw some people
coming. That's a new one.
That's a new
one.
I'm back
again. Yeah.
Back again.
My question is, I've not reviewed the definitions that were actually provided in the issues report in a while. Once they are incorporated in, is it open for discussion on the drafting team of those definitions or not? They might be appropriate. I don't know. I'm just pointing out that I've not reviewed them in a while. I'm not sure how many others on the drafting team have. Are they in concrete or are they open? Can they be discussed? That is my question. Just a more of a procedural question, really.
That's a good question. Marika, where did you get those from? That probably determines how inconcrete they are. Do you remember?
This is Marika. I need to think deeply, but I think they come from some new GTLD papers that described, the thick versus thin as part of, you know, the recommendation to... I think go for thick. I think that's where it came from, but I'm not 100% sure. But as I said, I think it should be able to trace where it's probably from. You know, I think a Google lookup probably will tell me where it originally came from. But I'm sure input was as well provided by some of our technical staff members that reviewed the paper and provided input specifically on that section.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to give us the answer to Ray's question, because if they came out of the new GTLD stuff, that I think gives us room to discuss that in the PDP, because that's for new GTLDs. So I think the sequence of events on that one is, let's go find out where those came from and then circle back to raise question before trying to answer that, because at this point, my consultant's answer would be it depends on where it came from. So I'll leave Marika with that action item, and then Ray, maybe you can be the watchguard to keep an eye on that issue, because it's a really interesting question. We talked about it a lot in the IRTP series, the ongoing series of working groups about inter-registrar transfer, but we didn't make policy around it. We just talked about it. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Steve Metallis. I guess I was just, I mean, Ray phrased his or presented his question as a procedural question. I guess I'd ask the substantive question of whether he thinks there is a problem or a defect in the definition of thick who is versus thin who is that's in the issues report.
Ray, you want to take a crack at that?
Well, I wish I was that smart. That's my answer. So right now, I've not reviewed them in a while. I can review them, and I can kind of do the, you know, the substantive review if you'd like. I could do that, but I'm just thinking ahead in terms of procedural question. We're talking about putting it into the document, and I'm not recalling where the source of those definitions came from. I wasn't sure if others did, so I raised the question. I don't, Steve, have an issue with the substance of them. I've not looked at them. The question just popped into my head as we were talking about it.
Steve, any further thoughts on that? I'm thinking that this is a little bit of a soft spot in our charter that could use a little firming up. So I'm inclined to let Marika go back and find the source, and then we could circle back to that question next week and maybe put it to bed. But any thoughts from you, Steve, on that?
No. I mean, I didn't know whether Ray's what the genesis of Ray's question was. So
yeah.
Obviously, if there's not a problem with the definition after he's reviewed it, then we don't have to. If no one thinks there's a problem, then we don't have to go through the exercise of determining its genealogy and everything else. But you know, he's not in a position to answer that, so I can.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
I think it's a pretty easy one to track down, and I think it's useful to do that. Avery, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. This is Avery. I actually wanted to speak in favor of having a definition. You know, we may have a working definition in the report and in the charter, but I think it's good for the outcome of the working group to produce a definitive definition. If we all understand it and it's easy, then it's a trivial milestone to meet. But if there are any questions, then obviously it's something that takes time. You know, and therefore even more should be done. So to make sure that there's no ambiguity about what is being talked about, I think it's good that the definitions be included, both a working definition, perhaps in the charter taken from the report, and then the working group to be definitive about it. Thanks.
Yeah, and I think the one caveat I would add to that is I'm fine with that unless somebody else has actually already done it, at which point I wouldn't want us to redo that work. But I think that's where the genealogy comes.
But then we can just cut and paste.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, if it exists and everybody agrees, yep, that's the one, then it's a trivial activity.
Yeah.
But it's not this group that's going through the work of determining whether it exists and it's good enough.
Yeah. Okay, so we're getting pretty close to the top of the hour, and we have a hard stop at the top. We've got a pretty good thread going in the chat that I'm not going to replay for you. I feel like, oh, so let me spend 30 seconds describing the plan going forward. My thought is that in the next week, people should take a good hard look at Marika's charter, think about other things to add. We'll run down the actions that fell out of this call. We'll start the debate about the content of the rest of the Section 2 stuff, see if we can get through all that next time. Maybe we can. And so we'll continue meeting this time every week, for the next several anyway. And I think that's the story. It's a minute till the top of the hour. Hopefully that gives people who have a hard stop time to get on to the next call. And I thank you all. I think we made a heck of a lot of progress today. We'll see you in a week. That's it for me.
Bye.
Bye all.
Thank you. This does conclude today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.